No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
All right, welcome in, everybody, to the Adam Carriker Show, the loaded show. It's like you get a 2-for-1 special each and every day you tune in because, I don't know, I talk so freaking fast. Ladies and gentlemen, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Wednesdays as well. Steve Taylor drops some phenomenal knowledge every Wednesday here, basically 5 days a week, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time. Come join yours truly and or Steve Taylor on Wednesdays. The Loaded Show, the Loaded Hour, the show that gives you unique insights, unbridled honesty, and producer Jake and I have a whole lot of fun in the process. This might be, honestly, the most loaded show I've ever done. I texted Jake this morning. I was like, no guess. I've got umpteen pages of notes. I believe the word I used was crap load, and I think I even all capsed it or exclamation points or something. A lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of stuff to get into. All right, we're going to start off the top with Huskers. But then just national college football as a whole, the last 30 minutes of the show, and the plane ride from hell, the Auburn basketball players, to people at the BYU game getting knocked out with water bottles, Travis Hunter shoving tortillas in his pants, Shedeur Sanders signing said not that tortilla, but other tortillas that were thrown on the field. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not a boring sports world out there. But as always, let's start with some Nebraska talk. Now, this will be a little bit of a recap of yesterday. Always. And as always, projecting forward as well. It was interesting because Rule used the word unique a couple of times in his press conference yesterday. Right, he said, it's you talking about bringing in Dana Holgorsen as a consultant and now having him call plays like this. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't unique. This is like we're building the plane while we're flying it. Like, we're at like 30,000 feet. We're looking out, and there goes Danny. He's on the right wing. Hey, give me 20 minutes. I'll finish the right wing of the airplane. That's what we're doing right now. It's not even a knock. It just is what it is. All right. I don't like to fly. I had no choice but to get over it. And that thought just terrified the holy crap out of me. All right. I don't even like when I look out there and I just see like a little scuff mark on the plane or something. Like, that stuff drives me nuts. Is that bolt loose? Is that loose? I know a couple of pilots, and I used to text them, and they're like, for your plane to go down, do you have any idea what it would take to happen? I'm like, no, I don't. And I feel like it's not as much as I would like it to be, but maybe you're making me feel kind of better here. I don't know. But here's the point. Rule said it's unique. And I quote, but it's probably, I underline probably here and put LOL, probably what's needed. It's the right thing. Talking about bringing in Dana Holgorsen at this point. Now, Dylan Raiola, this was interesting. It kind of got overlooked. And we're going to know probably by Thursday. Nobody's talking to the media down there until Thursday. And Matt Rhule's going to be the only one talking to anybody. He's having a Matt Rhule press conference on Thursday. No coordinators, no players this week. So it's going to be a lot of eyes and attention on this. Dylan Raiola will, and I underline this, try to practice Tuesday. I noticed that. Try to practice Tuesday. All right. So, and he said he would know by the end of Tuesday if Dylan would be able to play Saturday. But from my understanding, nobody's talking to the media till Thursday. So we'll see what happens there. All right, but in the meantime, they are getting Heinrich Harburg ready to go. And this was interesting to me because Matt Rhule said, and I quote, I got to go find the, I actually underlined a lot of things here, but here's this quote talking about Dana Holgorsen, and I quote, "I just think it gives us a great opportunity to have one of the great, great offensive minds, a guy that I've been friends with before and that I trust. I'm excited to see what he does," end quote. He didn't just say great. He said great, great offensive mind. So either that's a typo or he really thinks he's a great offensive mind. And I'll be honest with you. I think Dana Holgorsen's a really good, great, whatever you want to call him, offensive mind. What can happen in a week? What can happen in 2 weeks? What can happen in a month? Hey, we're going to see. I'm here for it. And Matt Rhule used this thing in his press conference a few times yesterday. This one word, simplify. Simplify. We made it too complex. We tried to do too many things. I would say the same thing. I would just say fancy smancy in my other shows or shows that I would do here or things I would talk about, you know. But I would use that word. How many times have I said the word simplify on this freaking show here, Jake?
Yeah, you brought it up a few times.
A few?
Yeah.
All right. A few. All right. We need to work on our definition of a few. Like every other day I bring it up on here. Like we've got to simplify. We've got to make things easier. You've got to be faster, more efficient, more decisive. If Dylan Raiola is missing reads of wide open guys, at some point it'll be the majority will be on him. I'm not going to put that on him this year. Starting next year, things change. 2 years from now, it's a completely different animal. But that's not on the quarterback if guys are running. And we don't have that many guys open to begin with. Let's just be clear on that. So if you're going to have a scarcity of guys running wide open, you can't be missing them. And if he's missed quite a few, which not quite a few, but a few like he did in the UCLA game, we got to look at what we're doing. Why is his mind racing so fast? Why does he not look as confident? Why does he look way less decisive than he did earlier in the season? So they're going to be simplifying things. All right. Again, he said, unique to bring someone in November and start calling plays, but it is needed. All right. Then he talked about, I want to score points. But this doesn't necessarily represent a shift in Rhule's offensive philosophy. Just worried about right now, he said, when asked where this leaves Marcus Satterfield going forward. Basically, Rhule understands the importance of these last three games. He understands the importance of getting to a bowl game. And I told my wife before I left to come here to do the show today, I was like, all we had to do is beat UCLA. And we were then playing with house money the rest of the year because we were at the six wins. You bounce back versus Ohio State. You beat UCLA. By the way, UCLA, not half bad. They go and they beat Iowa. And I'll be honest with you, they didn't just beat Iowa. They physically beat Iowa. Like UCLA, I knew they were talented. If you listen to the stuff that I would talk about on the Big Ten show I was doing last offseason, January, February, all the way through the summer, I would talk about UCLA's talented. I wasn't uber excited about their coaching hire, especially year one. They had a brutal schedule, something I talked about as well. And then the back half of their schedule is a little bit more reasonable. All of a sudden, you start to see this Deshaun Foster's doing some things. Hey, I got no problem saying I might have been wrong on that guy. And I'm happy to admit it, and I hope he turns out to be a great coach. They always had talent. Were they going to be able to be a good team? That was always my question. Hey, UCLA doesn't look half bad now because Iowa's not half bad. All right, they like score points now as well as playing defense and special teams and being disciplined, which they've always been. So, you know, the point I was getting at, obviously the UCLA game didn't go the way we wanted. Long 2 weeks heading into this USC game. They're starting a new quarterback. Lincoln Riley's under fire. I'm going to get way more into USC come Thursday, Friday. But all of a sudden, you look at that game and it's like, man, people are a little bit more excited about the offense. People are going to be tuning into this game Saturday just because nobody knows what the blue hell is going to happen on either side of this. Borderline chaos is pretty much what I expect, but somebody's got to win. And last I looked, we went from an 8.5 dog to a 9.5 point dog. So we'll see what happens. All right. But my point is simply this. You got to USC and you get a dub and the offense just looks better and the defense plays well like they can against a team with talent that has underperformed this year in their own right as well. But you get all that momentum back and now you've got two games. Maybe you get to 8 wins. Maybe you get to 7. I don't know. Maybe you end up with 6. But I think Rhule recognizes how important the rest of this year is. Or it's going to be the longest off season in the history of planet Earth if you lose the last 6 games of this year after losing the last 4 last year to miss out on a bowl game. So I think Rhule recognizes how important it is, and that's what he's focused on. Marcus Satterfield, highest paid tight ends coach in America now. I actually did look that up. Phil Snow is consulting virtually, which I did not know until yesterday. When I found that out, I was like, okay. Because I'm like, I wonder if Tony White's a little insulted by this, you know, Phil Snow being brought in as a consultant. But apparently he's been doing some things over the course of time anyways, but doing it virtually comes across a little bit different. Like, you're kind of there if we need you potentially down the road. Hopefully we don't. Hopefully Dana's here next year. Rule has said he wants Dana here. He tried to get him last January. All right. Obviously, he's here now. He said Dana would not. He didn't have to do this. The only reason he's doing it is because he believes he can make an impact in a positive direction. The person I was talking to said, fix it. I'm hesitant to use that F word, too. So for me, make an impact in a positive direction. That's what he believes he can do, and that's why he's here, and that's why he's calling plays now, talking about Dana Holgorsen. And he said he can be the OC going into next year if he wants. Rule clearly loves Dana Holgorsen. If you watch the press conference, if you listen to it, if you listen to certain things he says, you pay attention to just little things, great, great offense, great offensive mind. We are building the plane while we're flying it right now, okay? That's better than the plane's flying and there's holes in it and we're not doing anything about it, so I'll take that. But I kind of get the feeling like he's looking at Dana to be the patchwork guy for everything. Maybe that happens, maybe not. I don't know. I'm looking forward to see what happens Saturday. All right, talking about Henrik Harburg. Oh, and Rule says he didn't simplify everything as well as he should have as a coach, which failed Satterfield and others to this point. Man, Rule never shies away from pointing the finger at himself and almost like protecting, especially Satterfield. I do feel like he's uber protected him this year. Or another way you could phrase that is having his guys back. However you want to look at it. Okay. Henrik Harburg is the ultimate team guy. He said he asked Rule if they needed help, and now he's been playing on punt team, practicing on punt team. Okay. When's that fake punt coming? That's all I want to know. When is that fake punt coming? I can't wait to see it. Maybe it's a time that Harburg will be on the field, and I can't just automatically predict what happens for once. All right. Rule said, and I quote, I made this move that I made, and I'll make any other move I have to make. But the players need to make their moves to do better too, end quote. So some people were a little upset about what he said in last week's press conference, a week ago, 8 days ago. Oh, he's calling the players out, this and that. No, Scott Frost called players out. These aren't my guys. They don't know how to win. Does anybody remember those press conferences after games? Because I sat there with my jaw on the floor. I think he's stating truth at the risk of making players mad, but I don't think he's wrong. He's taken ownership. He said they need to simplify. He also talks in here about got to play better football and got to coach better football. So why should he say, hey, we got to do better here, 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 and here, and not point out another area that obviously needs to be improved, which is the actual play on the field? If I had to choose, nobody's making me choose, but if I had to choose, I'd put a little bit more of the blame on the coaches at this point than the players. The younger the team, the more impact coaches have. So like in the NFL, it's going to be more on the players than the coaches. At college, it's going to be a little bit more on the coaches than it is the players. And the younger you go down, the more of an impact coaching has, like high school, et cetera, et cetera. You look at all the great college football programs around the country, it's the coach. The head coach is the common denominator. You look at the programs that are struggling, there is no common denominator because there's constantly new head coaches. So to me, I have no problem with him saying this, but the players need to make their moves better too. He didn't make some big production. He didn't throw anybody under the bus. He said what we already knew in conjunction with some other things that we already knew as well. I am curious because, I mean, Glenn Thomas is here. Like, we're paying $2.2 million to two offensive coordinators, Glenn Thomas and Marcus Satterfield, who are no longer calling plays. Glenn Thomas is in-house. 23 years of coaching, 10 years as an OC. And I'm not saying I would choose him over Holgorsen. I'm just saying, what do we not know about Glenn Thomas? Basically, Rule brought in a guy that wasn't here 9 days ago and said, you're better than the guy that I hired to do this job, and you're better than the guy that he's supposed to be co-doing this job with, co-offensive coordinator. And that's a compliment to Holgorsen, but I'm like, man, nothing for Glenn over here? I don't know. I just find that peculiar. I'm not saying it's the wrong decision. I just haven't heard that talked about anywhere else, and it's a thought that popped in my head, so it must be said out loud, obviously. But I'm looking at all the offensive coaches, and I'm saying, hey, this is kind of a little bit of a refresh button for you because they're all going to be analyzed. Wide receivers not blocking, not catching, not getting open, I should say, so to speak. All right, tight end's been the most consistent position. Is that Fedoni? Is that Satterfield? I don't know. The running backs, we got four talented running backs, yet no clear. I know Dowdell's the starter. I still say Emmett should get the nod because there's no clear-cut guy who's taking the bull by the horns and nobody that just wows you. But that also goes to the offensive line.
There's got to be more holes. 2.8 yards per carry the last four games. UCLA now apparently gets after the quarterback, but we were the first team they'd done it against consistently all year. So we weren't protecting, we weren't blocking. So for me, I'm like, man, all these coaches, you got a new guy in here. And if he's the guy next year, which we all hope he is, talking about Holgorsen, to be clear, everything I've said, I'm perfectly fine with Holgorsen being the guy, and I hope he's here next year. With all due respect, I hope you get zero head coaching offers, my friend, because I want you here. Tony White, you too, my friend. But my point is simply this. I want the best for those guys, but I want the best for this program too. Now you got new eyes looking at you and evaluating you. Can you get your position group to do a little bit better? The offensive line. If I'm being honest, that's the one group I'm the most disappointed in, because those are the players who've been here the longest. The coach who's been here the longest. The group with the most experience. Plenty of talented guys. I know we got some injuries here and there. You know what's called football. The injury rate's 100% if you play long enough. Is the coach tied to the quarterback? I don't know. Nobody wants to even throw that one out loud. I guess I just did. All right. Who else we got here that I haven't talked about? I think I've covered pretty much everything. The only other thing that was pointed out to me the other day, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but some fans hit me up and they were like, hey, man, when you were talking about, hey, if Tony's not here, hopefully he is, but you brought in Phil Snow, brought up Phil Snow, okay, who had the number one defense in the entire Big 12 conference the last year at Baylor. But what about John Butler? Thought he was the incumbent in waiting if we needed another guy. And again, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this. All right, his first season here at Nebraska, Huskers secondary pass game coordinator. First year he's ever coached with Coach Rhule. He's the only guy on staff that has zero history with Coach Rhule before this year. Impressive resume. 30th season as a coach. 20 years in the NFL. 20 years in college football. 10 seasons in the NFL. All right, his collegiate resume includes four stops at power conference schools with experience in the Big Ten, Big 12, SEC. So if you're concerned about that conference-specific experience, he's got it. 11 seasons of experience as a special teams coordinator. All right, that's something to know. All right, was Penn State's defensive coordinator in 2013. Don't know why that was specifically pointed out in what I'm reading here, but in the NFL, Butler had a history of working with winning teams in his 10 seasons in the NFL. Butler's teams won 6 division titles and made 7 playoff appearances. He's also proven to be an outstanding secondary coach in his six seasons coaching with the Buffalo Bills and their defensive backs from 2018 to 2023. The Bills had a top 5 pass defense 5 times. I just thought I would address that because it was thrown my way. I guess he's a potential option. I will say this, of our defense, I've seen some wide receivers running wide open this year. So that's my only thought to that. I don't have a whole lot beyond that. Jake, how much time we got left in this segment?
Oh, probably a few minutes here.
To be honest with you, if we ended early, that won't break my heart, but we'll see what we got here because I got a whole lot for after the break. All right. I got a couple of the Nebraska-specific things here real quick, though, and I want to dive into those. Let me see. Again, Rhule thinks they've been trying to do too much on offense. They want to simplify. Says he is not aggressive by nature and hopes Dana can infuse some aggression into the offense. Probably Satterfield is not as aggressive either, which I thought was interesting. It's hard not to be aggressive if you've coached in the trenches like Rhule has, being a head coach. And again, they will play some younger players, not at the expense of a redshirt. And offense will not look much different. Just want to focus on getting the little things corrected and making sure they are using the right guys in the right place. That's the thing I'm probably the most curious to see. Who gets utilized more? Who gets put in specific spots personnel-wise? What are the things that are kind of done a little bit differently personnel-wise? I'm probably looking forward to that on Saturday as much as anything. All right. Here's a couple other things. November 23rd. I remember Nebraska and Wisconsin played in football and volleyball the same day last year as well, because that was the old 1-2 Nebraska volleyball versus Nebraska was number 2, Wisconsin was number 1, and we beat Wisconsin in volleyball that day, the old 1-2 matchup a year ago. November 23rd, Nebraska versus Wisconsin football at 2:30, Nebraska versus Wisconsin volleyball at 7. And shout out to Nebraska women's. We talk all sports, ladies and gentlemen. On this show, you're going to get Husker sports, college football, and general sports as well. All right, 7 Big Ten teams are ranked in the top 25 in the Nebraska or the women's basketball preseason poll. All right, USC is 3, UCLA 5, Maryland 11, 12 is Ohio State, and Nebraska top 25 team in the preseason polls, number 21. Oh, a couple of final thoughts on the volleyball race that I actually want to go back to the top three teams in the Big Ten with only 3 weeks left in the regular season. All right, the top three teams, Nebraska 14-0 in the Big Ten. Penn State 13-1 was number three in the country. They just got mollywopped and spanked at home. All right, swept by Wisconsin, who's number three. So Penn State's 13-1, Wisconsin's 12-2. Those are the top three teams still fighting it out, all right, to win the Big Ten championship in volleyball. So keep an eye on that over the next 3 weeks. Now, there's been some home attendance records that have been broken this year in the Big Ten. But there's a common denominator in their opponents 50% of the time. Northwestern set a record. All right. USC set a record. Oh, by the way, that Northwestern record was against Nebraska, USC versus UCLA, Oregon versus Nebraska, Ohio State versus Michigan, Washington versus Nebraska, and then Purdue has the highest attendance this year indoor for Nebraska or for women's volleyball, 14,876. There is talk of holding a volleyball match in Pinnacle Bank Arena, which is a little over 15,000. Pretty sure we can fill it after we slammed Memorial Stadium with 92,003. Just over a year ago, Nebraska volleyball fans, to break Purdue's newly set indoor women's volleyball record. I have a feeling Nebraska is going to be going after that. All right, here very soon at Pinnacle Bank Arena. The last thing I have got here, last two things, and this was sent to me from a fan on YouTube. I did double check. All right, in 2015 and 16, I've talked about the rushing stats. Holgorsen's offense, it's talking about being balanced and things of that nature. Obviously, it's air raid. Obviously, his expertise is quarterbacks, wide receivers. That's what he's coached, and he's learned under Mike Leach, et cetera. And he's a guy who's going to want to throw the football. But in 2015 and 16, his offense has averaged over 200 yards rushing a game and over 200 yards passing a game as well. So keep that in mind. And then my final thought before we hit the break and we come back with a whole bunch of national college football and national sports stuff was a quote that I saw from Troy Dannon, all right, when it talks about Nebraska football and the expectations here and the pressure that I guarantee they're feeling down there. He said, and I quote, "There's a burden to bear for what's happened here the last decade or so," end quote. In other words, not all these guys were here for that, but he understands why fans feel the way they do. There's a burden to bear for what's happened the last decade here at Nebraska, and Nebraska fans want to see improvement. They want to see better football and some more wins, starting with at least one. All right, Jake, you got any final thoughts before we hit the break?
No, I'm ready to get to the break.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. We will be right back.